I've entitled this message, Delivered from Evil. God's always on time. That's the title of the series of messages. Today we're going to look at an extreme example of Christ's timing. When things looked absolutely impossible. Impossible by human terms. Some circumstances can tempt us to doubt and give up hope. There's no doubt about that in my mind. We can see things with our eyes and say, oh no, there's no hope there. All hope is lost. But as we're going to see today, nobody's beyond hope with Christ. Nobody is beyond hope with Christ. He's always on time, as we've seen with Abraham and Isaac, Moses and Pharaoh, as we've seen with Gideon and his 300-man army against all odds. We've seen God's timing when Elijah called fire from heaven to burn up the king's men who came to arrest him. And we came and into God's Word, and we saw God was on time rescuing three young men from fire. We saw God was on time rescuing Daniel from lions. We saw God was on time rescuing Jonah from the ocean. And then He was on time by rescuing Jonah from the belly of the whale. We saw God was on time with the Israelites crossing the Jordan. And we saw God's timing in the life of Joseph. He took what happened to Joseph and He used it all for good. What they meant for evil, God used for good. And He saved His people from starvation. And today we're going to see God's timing in delivering a man from evil. Please know that God is always on time. He's always on time. Even when it looks like He's not to us. Even when things go differently than what we would expect. No matter how things look, God is always on time. And we have to just trust that. Sometimes He's training us to give up our expectations, and other times He's training us to give up our enemies. And sometimes He's training us to give up superiority and to serve Him humbly. You know, Jesus said to pick up your cross daily and follow Him. And sometimes He's calling us to die to ourselves and live for Him. Give up our lives. The account of the man that Jesus set free is an example for all of us to heed. Christ delivers from evil. You know, we pray it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, as in the way that we forgive others. And deliver us from evil. We pray for God to deliver us from evil, but many people don't believe God delivers from evil anymore. We've lost that idea. God's Word is full of examples of it, and we're going to look at a few of them today. Mark's gospel record is where we're going to go, so you can turn there to chapter 5. The account's also found in Matthew and Luke's gospel records. Mark chapter 5, you'll find on page 676 in the Pew Bible, if you choose to turn there. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to look at the first 20 verses, okay? Mark chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He bowed down before Jesus. And cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now that's not the man talking, that was the demon talking. For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, let me tell you something, okay? If you get confronted with somebody that's possessed by demons, you can ask that demon to identify itself. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it must. Because Christ is the one who has authority over all spirits. Also, he begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 in that herd. They ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, and they told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion. He has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. The font's kind of small there, and I don't have my glasses. I haven't had glasses in years. That's why I use this one, the Illuminated Bible. I can see this one. Praise God. Anyway, we'll trust that God will guide us. Father, we ask that you would cleanse me of any wrongful thing, Lord. Forgive all of us. Help us to forsake our sins. God, I offer myself to you for your use today, that you would help me to speak clearly and concisely the truth of your word. I ask that you would open the ears of everyone who hears this message, Lord. Bless them to hear what you have for them. Speak into our souls, Father. Deliver us from evil. Steady us as we serve you, awaiting Christ's return. We pray in his mighty and matchless name. We thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy. We ask that you would anoint all who hear these words. Guide my preaching in your power. Keep our faith not in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your spirit and your power. Your will be done. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who knows that that man was hopelessly lost? Everybody had given up on him. He was living in the tombs. He couldn't live in society. He was hopelessly lost. Do you know anybody that appears to be beyond redemption? Anybody comes to mind? Maybe you look in the mirror once in a while and you think maybe you're lost. Maybe you're beyond redemption. Maybe you're beyond help. Well, I'm here to tell you that nothing's impossible for our Lord and Savior. Nothing is impossible for him. He's always on time. He will deliver. He does deliver. He's the great deliverer. His word is clear on that. Although there is an unpardonable sin, and we'll look at that another time, nobody's too bad for God. There's nobody that's too gone for Christ to deliver. We just read a real life account. This was not just a story. This isn't just a parable. It's not just something made up. This is a real life account that people witnessed, where Jesus encountered a man who was filled with demons and he cast those demons out. I see it as a picture of those who are possessed with everything but the Spirit of Almighty God. There's many that live this way today, you know. Some are locked in addiction. Others are locked in materialism. There's a lot in the church like that. A lot that name it and claim it. They blab it and they grab it. That's not God's way. Others are locked in every manner of sin on earth, just overwhelmed with sin. I'm going to read from another passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 15, where it tells of a woman of Canaan who came to Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, you can start at verse 22 if you wanted to open there. I don't have the page number. And she cried out to Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not one word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." Now, isn't that just like the followers of Jesus? "Oh, you're making too much noise. Send them away. They're too loud." But he answered and he said, "I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. I believe that. Jesus called her a dog. Woo! Man, nobody wants to hear that, right? But she said, truth, Lord. She said, yeah, I'm a dog. She said, I'm not of your family. I'm not of the children of Israel. She said, but, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And she was saying, look, they're not eating at all. They're not getting it. He was teaching on having faith. He was teaching on healing. He was teaching on things that they did not understand. And she said, I get it, Lord. Just give me some of those crumbs. I just want a little bit. She was so hungry by faith to have what he had. And then what? Jesus said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now imagine when she went home and she saw her daughter in her right mind. Woo! God came and delivered her. Many who are locked in addiction are like those demon-possessed people. They're without Christ and they're without hope. And that's just the plain truth of it. They live without true friends and many become homeless. That's the truth of it. Just like that man in the tombs, like the man that was living in the cemetery. Fortunately, we don't have anybody living up in the cemetery. They've all passed on. Like that possessed man, everybody gives up on him. They find themselves empty, broken, and tormented day and night. Nothing was strong enough to restrain that man from hurting himself. He didn't have any glass or shards of pottery, so he'd use a stone, and he'd cut himself with the stone, causing himself pain, no doubt. It was the demons that were controlling him. Chains and shackles were no match for this man. He'd break them. And just as that man would cut himself with stones, so do the addicts today hurt themselves with plastic baggies and needles and pipes and such. Think of the crack addicts. Nobody wanted anything to do with that man until Jesus. He was marginalized. He was disliked. Nobody liked him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They cast him out of society. And the same fate befalls those who are overtaken by addictions. That's the truth, folks. That demon-possessed man was without faith. He was lost and he was hopeless. And nobody doubted his life was over until Jesus delivered him from evil. And I believe that God can come down and he can deliver people from every manner of evil today. I believe that by faith people can be healed of their addictions. I believe by faith God will deliver people from all manner of evil. I trust that. I don't think that the society has the answers. I don't think there's an answer out there that doesn't have Christ in it. Because if Christ isn't in it, they're not going to win it. And that's the fact. And nobody doubted that man's life was over. But then Jesus came and delivered him from evil. He was infested with demons. He wasn't just bothered by them. He wasn't just haunted by them. He wasn't just nagged by them. He was infested, overrun, overcome, completely lost. This was the most extreme case of demon possession that's recorded in the Bible. But those demons, they were no match for Christ. He didn't cower before them. Oh, there's a legion. There's thousands of demons. No. Be gone. Woo! Praise God. Remember, it's written in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the obvious answer is none prevail. And in Romans 8:37, tells us we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Christ conquered Satan. He conquered him once and for all, and we are operating in the authority of Christ. We have his authority, and we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Remember, it's written in 1 Samuel chapter 17, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with the sword and spear. It was a battle, and God was delivering, not by the sword and the spear. Because he goes on to say, for the battle is the Lord's. It's his battle. We are simply his soldiers. We are in his army. We are serving him to his glory. That's the truth of it. And he, it's written there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he will give you, the enemy, into our hands. And this is a picture of Christ. He delivers us from evil and delivers those enemies out of the realm of power into a realm of subjection. They don't have the power. Christ has the power. All authority came to him from the Father above. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And we as his ambassadors take that authority and we operate in it. That's what he says. It's not what I say. That's what he says. The battle's the Lord's. It's his battle and it's his victory. And don't you take the glory for it. I've seen people done things. Oh yeah, I healed them. I healed them. I laid my hands on them and I healed. No, you didn't do anything. God healed them. God delivered them from evil. Not you. Don't take God's glory. Those demons knew exactly who Jesus is. They knew who he is. Son of the Most High God. That demon called him. Oh yeah, he knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. And the demons always do. They always know him. And they know who operates in his authority. Remember whenever the man was overcome by demons and these guys came along and they said, we're going to cast you out in the name of Jesus. And he said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but you, I don't know you. They weren't operating in the real authority. They were trying to get some glory for themselves. That man came to Jesus and he fell down, worshiped him. And why? Because even the demons believe and they tremble in fear. That's what James tells us. James chapter 2, verse 19. Do we really fear Almighty God? Do we revere Christ, our Savior? The demons know Jesus has received all authority in heaven and in earth, and he rules over them. They know this. It is not a question. That question has been answered. They have no authority under Christ. And if we're operating in Christ, they don't have authority over us. The only way that they can have any power over us is if Almighty God gives them permission. See, they have to operate within the permission of God. Remember the story of Job. This is a real life account of a man who was tormented by the devil. The devil went to God, asked for permission. Hey, this guy Job, he doesn't really love you. Let me have him. I'll show you. He's just running with you because you're protecting him. And God says, you can do anything you want, but kill him. You can't kill him. And he tormented Job horribly. And at near the end of his life, what seemed like was going to be the end of his life, Job's wife said, just give up and curse God and die. And Job said, no, because I know my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. And if we're serving the living Redeemer, if we really truly believe that Christ is the Lord, he's the living Redeemer, he's not the dead one, he's alive, and if he's alive, he's operating within us. And if he's operating within us, we are operating in his authority. And under his authority, we too can have people delivered from evil because we're operating by his authority. Not our own. It's his power. Not our own. Oh, yeah, folks. That man fell down and worshiped. The demons believe. They're not atheists. The demons aren't atheists. They believe, but they're still his enemies. And there's those people out there that are preaching this gospel of just believe. Say a little prayer and say you believe, and then you're saved, and you can live happily ever after on earth any way you choose, and then God will take you into heaven. Not the way it's written in the Bible. They tremble in fear. They fear Jesus even though they oppose him. They're on the opposite team. And they fear him. If you're operating in Christ, you have nothing to fear. And sadly, many people who know Jesus today, they even recognize He's the Son of God, but they don't fear Him. They don't revere Him. Oh, Jesus is my buddy. Well, He does call us friends if we do what He says. He says, you're my friends if you do what I tell you. They oppose Him. There's a lot of people that call themselves followers who oppose Christ. And how do they do that? What's their opposition? They willfully sin and operate outside of the divine will of Almighty God. That's how they're opposing Christ. That's what the Word says. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. But anybody who doesn't keep my commandments, they don't love me. Woo! That's what He said. Wow. Believing the facts about Jesus doesn't make you right with God any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. And that's not an original. You have all probably heard somewhere else, some other preacher said it somewhere. Just because you believe it doesn't make you a follower of Christ. Following Christ makes you a follower of Christ. Picking up your cross and going after Him each and every day, that makes you a follower of Christ. You can't just say you're a follower of Christ. You have to be a follower of Christ. It's an active participation in the furthering of the gospel. Believing must be coupled with action to bring salvation. That's what's written in the Word of God. You believe with your mind, and then you act upon that. He does the work. He saves. You don't save. Your action doesn't save you, but if you don't act, you're not following Christ. James says, faith without action is dead. He calls action works. The demons knew Jesus could send them into the abyss forever. Forever. Jesus referred to this as the place of eternal torment, where the fire is never quenched. That's also in Mark's gospel record, chapter 9, verses 43 and verse 45. He said, everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And there are those today who preach that there is no fire. There is no hell. There's no place of eternal torment. Because after all, God loves His people. There's a broadness to God's grace. Everybody's welcome. Come as you are. Yeah, He comes as you are. And He tells us He'll take us as we are. But He expects for us to be changed. And whenever we are changed, it's by Christ. It's by His Spirit. We are born again. And when we are born again, we are no longer the old man. We are a new man. That's what the Scripture says. We operate in His authority. On account of that demon-possessed man, we learn Jesus had absolute power over the demons. And so do we if we operate in His authority. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That's what Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 2 and verse 4. According to Thayer's lexicon, the root word for hell there means the deepest abyss of Hades. To incarcerate in eternal torment. Now, there are some who say, well, you know, hell's just this place of darkness, and people were sent there to be away from God. They're not going to be tormented. Well, wait a minute. To incarcerate in eternal torment. That's what the Word means. And devil and his angels who sinned against God, that's where the place is that they're going to go. And everybody who follows them doesn't follow them into heaven. They follow them into hell. That's what God says. It's the meaning of the Word, no matter whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter whether we like it or not. That legion begged Jesus not to send them into that abyss. And that word means the depthless, infernal, bottomless pit, according to Strong's dictionary. There's no end. It's an endless place. You know, I see these jokes. Oh, because of you, we've had to enlarge the place. No. There's no need to enlarge it. It is endless as it exists. Thayer's lexicon calls it the bottomless, unbounded, the abyss, the pit, the immeasurable depth, a very deep gulf or chasm in the lowest parts of the earth used as the common receptacle of the dead and especially as the abode of demons. Nobody can tell me. Remember, Jesus read Isaiah 61. He stood up in the synagogue on a particular Sabbath, and he read, "The Spirit of God, the Lord God, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he fulfilled that scripture, he said. And of course, that really upset them. Those religious folks said, "No way, he ain't the guy. He's not the one. He's not the one that was foretold." They, from that moment forward, sought to kill him. But, as we know, they succeeded in one sense, but then he overcame death, didn't he? We'll be celebrating that in a couple weeks. Those demons could have ran that man into the sea just like they ran those pigs into the sea. They could have completely destroyed him. But Christ saved him. And he can save each and every one of us. He can deliver us from evil too. Don't tell me the devil made you do it. I don't want to hear it. Because if you're blood bought, if you are a child of Almighty God under Jesus Christ, hear what he said. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. If you're bound, you can be set free by Christ. He opened that prison. Step out of it. Step out in the name of Jesus Christ. Command those demons to let you go. They have no authority over you if you're in Christ. Don't let that. Don't settle for less. You've got an eternal inheritance in heaven. Don't sell that out for a piece of bread here. Or a needle. Or a car. Or a job. Or a house. Or whatever. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? When they saw that man sitting in his right mind, this man that nobody believed could be redeemed, nobody believed he could be delivered, and they saw him sitting in his right mind, fully clothed, listening to Jesus teach, they couldn't deny it, could they? And such were some of us. Oh, we weren't running around naked in the tombs. But we have our sin. And we confess that before God. And He forgives us. And now we can sit at the feet of Christ. We can sit there and we can hear Him teach us where He wants us to go. What He wants us to do. And so I have to ask you, what do you believe? What do you believe? Where is your faith placed? Is Christ real to you today? Is He really real to you today? Are you born again by Almighty God through His Spirit? As I said before, I think reborn means freeborn. We're sons. We're children of God. We are not children of slaves. We are not slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free. We are freeborn. I believe the entire body of Christ has choices to make right now, in this era, right now, in this time that we're existing in, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have choices to make. We can continue to follow the lost path. We can continue to follow the doctrines of demons that have undermined the authority of Christ. There are those who say there is no power today. The Spirit doesn't operate today the way the Spirit operated before. Or we can accept what's written for our edification, because every scripture is given for us to learn from. All scripture is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction. Set us straight. If God's convicting your heart today, don't yell at the preacher. I'm just delivering the mail, folks. Take it, open it up, see what God has for you, and let Him give you what He has for you. Freedom! In John chapter 20, we hear truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And what does it mean to believe? We talked about that. Following Him. Believers follow Him. As we see in the scriptures, there were many who followed Him, and then He'd go up to a tall mountain, and some of them would fall back. They didn't want to follow them there. That's too hard to go up that mountain. Come on, Jesus, we're sweating here. Cut us a break, will you? Let's do it down in the plain. No. He'd sift them like wheat, and the chaff would fall away. The wind would blow them off. He does the same today. He's no different today than he's ever been. I believe we must choose this day whom we will serve. As for me, I'm going to follow the Lord. We're going to be like those who fearfully told Jesus to leave whenever they saw those pigs had run into the sea. Now, those carcasses were probably floating there. We don't know how much time passed, but those pigs were drowned. 2,000 pigs, that's a hard one to miss. And them folks came and they told Jesus, get out of here, man. We can't take this kind of stuff. We can't have this, running pigs off into the lake or into the sea, whatever it was. Are we going to be like them? They were afraid. The scripture says they were greatly afraid. When they saw this man sitting there in his right mind, that snapped them a little bit. They weren't going for that. No, this guy's lost. He can't possibly be saved. He can't be redeemed. There's no way he could be delivered. But there he was. And they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny it. We're going to be like that man that was miraculously transformed. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And what's the other scripture say? I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I have to believe we have to choose, folks. I think the whole church of Jesus Christ is asleep today. Oh, there's some that aren't. There's some that are awake. They're hearing the word of God today and they're praising God. They're shouting the amens. They're saying, God, we're here for you. Send us. Let us do what you want us to do. Are you going to cast Christ away like those people, or are you going to draw nearer to him like the man that was delivered, sitting at his feet, soaking up every word? The scripture tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what's written in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee. Or are you going to spend the rest of your life telling others how he oppresses you? Oh, the devil's hard on me. I have one dear lady. Oh, pastor, pray for me. The devil's haunting me today. Tell him to stop. Resist the devil. You have that power in Christ. You don't have to ask me to do it. You can do it. You are authorized. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Doesn't say he might. Doesn't say he should. Doesn't say he should. Doesn't say he could. He will. You could spend the rest of your life chasing the devil away instead of letting him have his way with you. You have that power if you're in Christ. Oh, but horror movies have taught us to fear the devil. The devil's scary, Pastor. Him and his demons. You know, I saw that girl's head go around in circles. I don't want to see that happen. Shame on us. Believing the lies. Hollywood doesn't tell us the truth. Come on. Isaiah tells us the truth. Fear not! I am with thee! Thus saith the Lord. Fear not! I don't say fear sometimes. Fear when things get tough. Fear whenever their head starts spinning around in circles. Her eyes roll up in the back of her head. No! Fear not! For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He rules over all. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what he says. Hollywood says, fear the devil. No. Christ rules over the demons and he sent his followers to do the same. Do you think I'm telling you the truth here, folks? Let me tell you. He told the 12 to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Some say that's just for the apostles. Yeah, well, but hear what he said. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak of new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if any they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's found in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said. Jesus said. Okay? Oh, yeah. And then in Matthew chapter 12, we hear, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. That's what Jesus said. If you cast out devils in the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto those people. Bring the kingdom of God to them. In Luke chapter 10, we read of the 70 others that Jesus sent to preach and heal. 70? Wait a minute, I thought this was only for the 12. Wait, Jesus. Let's see, the 70 returned again with joy, Luke tells us in chapter 10, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Subject. Because he's the Lord. He's the ruler. He's the supreme in command. And the devils have no authority in his authority. They can't rule in his kingdom. And if you're operating in his kingdom, you have his authority to cast those devils out. He said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. He said he was dropping quick. Ba-boom! Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. 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 And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't be jumping up and down because the devils are running from you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So don't tell me that healing and delivering from evil was only for the apostles. Because those 70, they were not the apostles. Oh, well, that was for the early church age, Pastor. That wasn't for us. That's not for now. No. If it's not for now, then you're not believing the Word of God. And if you're not believing the Word of God, you're not following Jesus Christ because he said, follow him. Believe him. Do what he said. Follow his commandments. He commanded his people to go out there and chase those demons out of others. He said, deliver them from evil. He tells us to pray that God will deliver us from evil on a daily basis. Pray this way. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And we can teach others to pray the same. But they've got to come into the authority of Christ. They can't operate in their own authority. They can't operate in your authority. They can't operate in my authority. They've got to operate in his authority. I'll tell that devil. Oh, he's sly. He's got many masquerading as angels of light, wolves dressed as lambs. Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to get me to believe that demonic doctrine. What's it written that in the last days many will come, deceiving many, bringing these doctrines of demons. That's a doctrine of demons, saying that demons have more authority than Christ's followers. That's a lie right out of hell. It's written in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Jesus said that the power comes from on high. It doesn't come out of your shoe. It doesn't come out of your pocket. It doesn't come out of a book. It doesn't come out of a song. It doesn't come out of anything on earth. It comes from on high. And as I wrap this up, folks, I want you to know that the Holy Ghost empowers each and every believer to overcome evil. You've been delivered. If in fact you've come to Christ, you have been delivered from evil. Now, if that jail cell's open and you step back in, you've locked yourself in that prison. The devil didn't do it. He don't have the authority. And Christ didn't do it because he opened that gate and he let you out. You don't need to be tied up in sin anymore. You don't need to be all locked down in demonic possession. And people who tell me, well, the addict can't help himself. I got to tell you this. God can help him. You can call it a disease. It diseases the brain. There's no doubt about that. We know chemically it diseases the brain. But don't tell me that they can't be delivered. Don't tell me that you can't be delivered. If you come to Christ, He will deliver you. And there are many examples, living proof. I've met people who were delivered by Christ. They're not locked into some other drug protocol. They might have used something to get them from one place to another. But now they're free. They're set free because what He sets free is set free indeed. There is no domination of evil over our lives when we're in Christ. It's never too late. And then we're to tell others. The Holy Ghost empowers believers to overcome evil, to deliver people from evil. We need to tell others, and they need to tell others. We can tell them of His wonder-working power to deliver them from evil. There is power in the name of Jesus. We sing that power song. What's the there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood. As long as you draw breath, you can tell others. Remember the thief on the cross? Everybody thought it was too late for him, right? He's hanging there next to Jesus. And what happened? He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, anybody looking at him, says, it's too late for him. There's no hope for this guy. And what did Jesus say? Oh, I tell you right now, today you will be with me in paradise. God's always on time. We see that in the example of Christ on the cross. Saved that man right next to him. He expressed his faith and was ushered into paradise that very same day. The time is now to stop resisting. It's time to give Him control. And He'll deliver you from evil. Remember, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be those conquerors through You who loved us. You sent Christ. You loved the world so much that You sent Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord God, I hear of ministers who have helped people to become delivered. I think of the Reverend Shambach who tells of how he was down in Haiti. He said a prayer, and later a young boy latched onto his leg and he couldn't get him off. And he was saying something in Creole, and the local pastor said, "He's trying to tell you something." And Reverend Shambach said, "I don't understand Creole." And the man interpreted it to say the boy was born blind, but now he could see. We know, Lord, that's in our lifetime. So nobody can tell me that You're not still working. I read the accounts of others. John G. Lake, who delivered Your word to people, and they were healed. They were delivered from evil. I think of Catherine Coleman, who delivered Your word, and people were delivered from evil and medically proven by their own doctors. Yes, this one had this affliction, and they were delivered from that by Your powerful word, under Your authority. We're more than conquerors through You who love us. Father, I just can't take it when people say that healing and delivering from evil was only for the apostles. And I don't want to follow any doctrines of demons. I know that the power comes from on high. It's not me. It's not the people that are hearing my voice. It's like the 70 who returned with joy, saying even the devils are subject to them. God, help us to realize that we are operating in Your authority. Help us to know that we can cast out devils. And help us to know, Lord, that these signs will follow us who believe. Help us to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Lord God, there's many dead in our society today. Oh, their bodies are still alive, but their souls are dead. We know the wages of sin is death, but the gift that You give is everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody that hears this message, Lord, that doesn't know You, I pray that You'd pour Your Spirit upon them and they would come to know You, that they'd be set free, that they'd be delivered from evil. I trust that you can do this, Father. I know that you can. I believe that you can. Help me with my unbelief, Lord, where the world would try to trick me into believing that somehow the devil has more power than you, that the devil has more power than Christ. If I'm operating in Christ, I know he's almighty with you. God, help me. Help me, Father, to operate in your authority. Help each one that hears my voice here, Lord, who hears this message, to operate in your authority, I pray, in Jesus' mighty and magnificent name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's open our hymnals one last time. We're going to go to number 103. 103. And we're going to sing One Day. One Day. Number 103. And if you can, please stand as we sing.
This is Maddie. I want you to visit with us next weekend.